Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm here in Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida on Monday. It's around 4:38. We are live on Facebook Live. For those of you who watch us on Facebook Live on my Dougie Almeida page on Facebook. For our podcast listeners, you're listening to us on wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com or on iTunes, one or the other. Or you may be listening to us on Saturday later this week on Bubba Army Radio. Because we're there on Saturdays and Sundays from 4 to 6, getting a lot of new listeners from that. So we thank you guys for listening to us on Bubba Army Radio. And if you want to catch up on some older ones, just go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Over 600 and something episodes for you. Going back to 2013, so we've been here a while. Yeah?
And we're going to here to stay.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
We are here to stay, people.
My Podbean fees are paid up for like 10 years because they reduced it. Like, I was, you know, I had a big account, so they reduced it. So it's like, well, we can't give you money back, but we can just credit you for the next 5 years.
That works.
Yeah, why not? Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm excited. I had a great weekend this weekend of comedy. I was at Bonkers Comedy Club in Sanford, Florida. And we had our buddy Nadim join us.
Nice.
Thanks to Ignite Hospitality and the Courtyard on the Lake of Lucerne in Orlando, a great little bed and breakfast hotel that was... Let us stay there for free. I guess people look at you funny when you see three guys walking into a hotel room together.
Wow. Have you seen you three?
I know. Especially Perry. So we had a good time over there in a packed house. Friday night was busy, and Saturday they had to turn people away. That was, you know.
That's awesome. You always want to hear that.
It's nice. But here's the thing, though. It's like a loud room. You know, right. It's like, especially the Saturday show. So Nadim had a great set on Friday, but on Saturday, by the time he got up to a guest spot, the crowd was still not settled in. You know what I mean? And that always sucks when about to start a show.
It's really tough.
You got everybody still talking and me and like fucking looking around. Did I bring my phone? Anybody seen my keys?
Did you see what we did this weekend?
Mm-hmm. What's up, Adam Hayes? Facebook Live.
It's Tara's birthday.
Yeah. Oh, I know a show's going on. It was funny because I'm sitting at the back of the bar. The place is packed. So Perry gives up a seat to this younger couple, right? And right off the bat, the girl's a fucking loon, right? So, I mean, she's talking to Perry, and Perry talks to everybody.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, I'm before the show, I'm like, I don't really, you know, I'm just keeping an eye on who the crowd is, what the crowd looks like. And this girl says, can I tell you a joke? You know. I'm like, no. No.
It's always no. I don't know why they haven't asked anymore.
And Perry said no. And then right away, the girl grew like a disdain for me. Like, she was like, oh, you know, you could tell like she didn't like me because I was just so honest. I don't want to hear your fucking joke, lady.
Right. I'm not here for your joke. You're here for my joke.
Yeah, you're not on the poster. You know, I'm a joke teller. Why do I want to hear you tell me a joke?
Here, feel free to use this one time.
And then it was odd, was the guy, her boyfriend, was like, let me tell you what that's like. That's like him saying to you, you want me to tell you how to suck a cock? And I'm like, well, I wasn't the one I was going to use, dude.
That is not the example.
That is not the analogy I was going to use. But, you know, while we're at it. You know, and of course, Perry kept talking to him and shit. And I just didn't, you know. But it was funny because her boyfriend, it was his table in the back while Nadine was up. And they were just talking as younger guys, like two or three couples sitting at a table. And this guy walked over and says, could you please be quiet? We're trying to watch the show. And I was like, well, at least he did something worthwhile. But yeah, we had a good time. And it was weird because on the Friday night show, I had, thank God I wasn't under it, but to the left side of the stage, one of the roof tiles, you know, the drop down roof tile things, was loaded with water and it crashed to the stage.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, whoa, somebody's water broke. And I, you know, I had fun with it.
Right, right. And I had my you were on stage when it happened?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then I had, but I had fun with it because, you know, well, I was a little concerned. I had my suede shoes on.
Uh-oh.
I had my Oxblood suede shoes on, and I was like, that would have been really pissed if they would have got my shoes all wet.
It's like that scene in Suicide Kings.
Yeah.
Where Leary had the shoes, their alligator shoes, or Stingray shoes.
Right.
How much did you pay for the shoes? Let's not talk about how much I paid for the shoes. Talking about the shoes, $3,500. $3,500 for a pair of shoes?
Yeah, I wouldn't pay that much. My Oxbloods only cost like $100.
Hey, $100 is $1,000 somebody.
Yeah. But you know, it was hot as balls, man. So on Friday night, I always, when I headline, I most of the time, whenever I perform, I like to wear my long sleeve shirt, dress nice. But it was so hot. Halfway through my, set, I'm
dripping.
It's like hot, you know? So there's nothing better than wearing a t-shirt on stage. Especially when it's hot. So, again, the second night, I wore my Deadpool t-shirt.
Okay.
And nobody mattered. It didn't matter. Nobody cared.
Nobody was...
It's not like somebody said, hey, that headliner was funny with that t-shirt he wore.
No, I was talking about red carpet wardrobes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, if I go to a... If I'm going to perform at a casino or at a real nice venue, you know what I mean? I'm going to wear my nice collared shirt. But, you know, then you see somebody go up and they got a fucking t-shirt on. And you're like, God, what... Why am I so concerned with this?
Why did I look in the mirror twice?
Right? Benjamin Lee is joining us on Facebook. Ben, you book shows. How do you feel if the headliner goes up with a t-shirt? Does it matter? If he's funny enough, does it matter? It's always good to ask somebody who knows what they're talking about. So, you know, so we had fun in Sanford. You know what I mean? And got a lot of new fans.
Nice
so that
town.
That was cool. Yeah. And I felt bad, though, for Nadine because Perry and I are just old men now. So, you know, our hotel is like 25, 30 minutes from Sanford in downtown Orlando. By the time we got back, it's like, let's go to downtown. We're like, I'm going to bed, man. I'm going back to the room. And I'm going to have, Perry bought a couple of bottles of wine, you know, and some beer. So we just wanted to head back and, you know, have a drink or two and just chill out. You know, I'm a married guy. I don't want to go out to a downtown. I want to go hang out with young people all day, you know. Walk around, spend $8 for a beer when I got free beer in my hotel.
So did Nadine make it back? Cause
he never went out.
Oh, he didn't go out?
But he's a smart kid, that guy. He thinks on his feet. Like on Saturday night, you know, he was trashed. I don't know if it's because he had a rough set on Saturday night, but he got bought. Like he was drinking a lot after that. It was funny. But so we got back, and he was going to take an Uber to downtown. Right. I thought he did. But he comes back in. He goes, I'm not going to go out. I decided to order a pizza. And I was like, fuck yeah. See, that's what a fat married guy does. When you get back to the hotel after a night of comedy, you either go out to a strip club or a club and get in trouble, or you sit home and just order a pizza and eat like a, you know.
It's funny, the older you get, how much pizza is the same reaction from you at a strip club.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, at my age, if somebody says, you want to go to a strip club, I get as excited as if somebody says, hey, I just ordered a pizza. I was excited when he said, hey, I ordered a pizza. Look, this fucking kid's great. This kid's, you know, what a thinker.
On the pulse.
Not one of these people that sit by and always go, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want? You know, go ahead and take some initiative. Order some pizza.
Be a leader.
That's right.
Extra cheese.
So that was pretty cool, you know, working that room. I did like a little over an hour and 10 minutes the first night.
Wow, that's a good set.
Yeah. And I did a lot of improv. I ended up making up shit and had a lot of fun with the crowd. There was this one kid on the second show that pissed off. He had his back. He was sitting right in the front. He had his back to the stage.
Okay.
And it was he mentioned something to him. Even Perry mentioned something. He was still there. You know, and I went up and talked to him and stuff and made fun of him. I said, boy, and they were talking about strip clubs. I'm like, is this what you do at a strip club? You stand, you face away from the stage and hand, here's my tip, you know, over your fucking shoulder. Yeah, we had fun with that. Benjamin Lee says, generally speaking, not professional unless it's part of their persona or merch. Yeah. What if it's like a superhero t-shirt? Like this one. Something like, this is a Star Wars t-shirt. Rogue One or something. I don't know what it is. Yeah, but at any rate. So we try to keep it professional, especially nice venues. You wear a nice shirt with a collar. But man, it's so fucking hot. Just couldn't stand it. Well, that being said, you know, we're talking about comedy and, you know, obviously, oh, by the way, Jen Hellman will be back on Wednesday. She's going to be here with Dean Napolitano, who's our headliner for Wise Guys Comedy Show this week. First time ever at Tavolino's.
Exciting. How's our room going?
It's going good. You know, it's going good. We had a, last week. Last week was one of those tough crowds. Last week at Tavolino's, we had tough crowds. Will Rockdowse Lewis did good. Chris Machado did good. He drudged through it. And our headliner, battled and,
sometimes
it didn't, it was kind of rough.
As long as you don't wave the white flag, you're doing fine.
Yeah. By the way, let me compliment Adem on this, because there are many comics who will go, they're doing a set, if they're not getting laughs or it's not going well, they'll start turning ugly. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll just like, oh, well, you guys suck, or, fuck this. And right. But he kept doing it. He smiled. He handled it well. Especially when you're only a year or so into comedy.
Consummate professional.
Yeah. Don't start blaming the audience and telling them they're all old and they're going to die soon anyway. Like Moon Pie did that. Speaking of comedy, I finally got to see this comedy TV show series on Showtime. I'm dying up here.
Okay, I've heard good things.
It's set in the 70s, and man, there's some. Anytime you see something happening of something you're doing, you relate to it, right? Like basically, it's a storyline. I guess it's loosely based on the Comedy Store in Mitzi. Mitzi Shore runs a comedy store that she, the power she wielded, when you book.
Right. She made her break, made her yeah. Broke you.
Yeah. And everybody kissing her ass, everybody doing they can, and sticking to it. And the thing that's good about it is young comics need to look at this, because you learn a lot. You learn that the fact that, you got to put in your dues.
You absolutely have to put in your
dues. I want to thank Ben here. I've seen T-shirt under blazer, and then the blazer gets ditched in 15 minutes. Yeah, I know. That's you wear a jacket, you come out pretty nice, and I got to take this fucking thing off.
Then you rock the house. That's
yeah,
right.
So
wife beaters under coats?
No wife beater. You get no under tank coats. Tops. Can't wear a tank top at a headline. If you headline, you're a tank top. I've seen headliners wear. Like Joe Lauer's wears a bowling shirt and jean shorts.
Okay.
But it's part of his persona. It fits him perfect. So where was I? So you watch this and you got to pay your dues. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of comics that think, I could do this, I could do that. I had somebody not too long ago tell me they can hang with headliners, and they've been doing comedy about a year and a half. No, you can't. Somebody who's been doing comedy 10 years plus has been through a lot of shit.
Yep.
And there's a lot of, and if you tore it around, you weren't surprised by little things, how am I going to handle this? Usually you're polished, you handle anything. Mm-hmm. So it's a good TV, it's a good show to watch.
Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah, you produced it or executive producer of it. But it's kind of funny, like some of it, it's like it's a little overdone, like with the makeup to look like this, the hair and the fucking everything they're doing with the 70s.
Are they trying to just make it set there for...
Well, it's set in the 70s. I mean, the opening part is this one. The opening scene, the first one I saw was this guy who makes it on Johnny Carson. He gets called to the couch,
right.
Which is great. And everybody's happy. It's funny. The funny thing is, here's a guy that's doing great, and most of his friends back at the club are like, oh, my God, they're cheering for him. There's that one bitter fuck that's not happy about it.
He's not funny.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Now, as a comic, it's funny when you see that because... you see other comics, let's say you're in that same class, like you kind of started at the same time, and they get a break and you don't. I'm never jealous. Like, look at a guy like Preacher Lawson right now, as America's Got Talent, the kid's career's blowing up.
Super
so
awesome.
Fucking happy for the guy. One, because he's a good dude, right? Well deserving. The kid's a fucking, there's nobody more deserving than that kid. If that kid, God forbid, that guy's got a special cabin in heaven. This guy doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, right? You can't say anything bad about this kid. He's a great kid. So you feel happy for him. You don't feel happy when you get some fuck nut, some unfunny person that just is blowing somebody or just knows somebody that's getting it. That's when you. But I've learned. Here's the thing I've learned, and like, I've seen this in the past, but then you don't see those people around. Like, they'll get up there.
Right.
They'll get to those levels, but they won't stay.
It's because you have to really be talented to do the what.
You got
to
have talent, right?
You got to.
You got to have something to carry the, you know. So, you know, so you can't. So that was funny because it depicts that. It depicts, you know, one, you know, everybody was kind of happy for the guy. So here's the guy. He gets on Carson. He's at a hotel and you know, and the reason why he was at a hotel, he lived in L.A. or whatever. But they filmed it in Burbank, right? Burbank, California. Mm-hmm. So, and all of a sudden, he walks off a curb in the street and gets hit by a bus. He's dead.
Oh, man.
Question in the TV show was, did he do it on purpose? Was it an accident? Yeah. You know?
Jeez.
I'm just, what do you do? So, I like the show. I suggest it. You know, a lot of good people in it. That one guy, Eric Griffin. That big black guy, he's fucking great in that show. He plays like a local guy in the, but he's funny in that fucking show.
I gotta check it out.
And there's a guy that kind of reminds me of, I thought it was supposed to be Freddie Prinze. It's like a Spanish guy kind of thing. He always tells Mexican jokes. And one of the MCs, they're in the showcase. They're trying to pick somebody to get on Midnight Special. Remember Midnight Special?
Okay.
Don Kirshner's Rick Midnight Special used to be out. Used to come on after Saturday Night Live, I think, on the weekends on Saturday years ago in the late 70s and 80s. And it was like they had comics on there once in a while. So they're all like showcasing at the club to see who they're going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy who was pissed because he was MC was like, why the fuck am I MCing? You know, he's like, well, you do crowd work and stuff, you know.
Ugh.
And it was funny. So he was mad. So he introduces the Mexican guy. He's like, his act is he's a Mexican and that's his act. So he ripped
sabotage.
Him. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You don't ever rag on somebody. You know, it's rule as a comic. If you're hosting the show, you never say anything negative about any of your anybody on the show, right? You got to carry the show.
Right.
If somebody doesn't do well, you got to somehow do something with that.
Twist it.
Let's see here. Hey, what's up, JT Mutz? Has it happened only once? Stage right is still my vice. Well, listen. But, you know, you can't. Like, I remember Peter Leonard, who's been on the show, did a guest spot at the old New York Comedy Club one time, and he was horrible. The crowd were almost, I mean, if there was old produce in the stands, they would have started throwing at him, like an hour game, like, you know, Little Rascals episode, and he, you know, so when I got up there, the crowd was like, hey, it's here for Peter Leonard, like, ooh, it got hostile. I'm like, all right, hold on a second. I used to tell a joke about open mic comics. So I just basically referenced, I go, boy, like I said, you know, I remember what I said about open mic comics. Everybody went nuts and crazy. Peter got pissed, and he even mentions it to this day. But, you know, I don't, you know, you don't want to generally say anything bad. We had a guy headline one time at Tavolino's where the feature didn't do that great, and the headliner went up and go, this is going to be a little different. You guys are going to laugh, unlike the beginning part of the show.
Hmm.
And I kind of went, you know, that's fucked up.
You know, you didn't have to.
You didn't have to do that.
That's the thing. You don't have to. You know what I mean? Everybody knows if someone sucks, everybody already knows.
Right. You don't have to spell it out.
There's no need for it. So
what would be something good that you could, like, let's say somebody has a bad set and you come up on stage after, what would be some way that you can, I don't know, transition or you know. I remember one time Jim Florentine at the New York Comedy Club, he had his feature who did a really bad, like, and it was, and in all due defense, the early show at the old New York Comedy Club in Boca was all like 80% old people over 80. It was an 80-80 rule. 80% of them were 80 years old. And this young guy, you know, went up and, you know, and it was brutal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Jim went up and was like, hey, give the guy a break. You know, it's like, I know not everybody's perfect. Not everybody has a good day. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Give the guy a break.
That works.
Addressed it. I'm just saying. I don't even know if I'd want, you know.
I don't know. Just go keep on going. Try to build up the next guy as something.
Yeah, or if you're the guy following, like if somebody goes up before me and it's just really bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I don't even know if I want to address that. I think I'm just going to get right to it. And who wants to point out the shit on somebody's shoe? Shouldn't, right? You don't. If you step in shit, you don't go, hey, look, I stepped in shit. Some people do that. Some people like to go to work.
Yeah, the milkshake thing.
Right.
Oh, this tastes like shit. Taste it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Ever have somebody do that? Hey, man, I can't believe I stepped in shit. Look, I go, you haven't wiped it off your foot yet?
Why are we talking?
Yeah.
You have shit on your shoe.
If you walked in the building with shit on your shoe? And if you ever get shit on your shoe, the best way to do is find grass or a hose. You get a go to somebody, get a garden hose, take the shoe off.
You know, if you're clean at Starbucks, use someone's coffee, do something. Get it off of there.
Yeah. Somebody's not paying attention, just actually scrape your foot on them. Oh, sorry about that, dude. Anyway.
Teach you to wear white linen in public.
The world of the comedian. but that's what's good about that show. And, you know, it's funny because I also like that other show I saw, Crashing, with Pete Holmes.
Okay.
I thought that was even better, a funnier show.
Is it
than
about
this one?
Same premises?
Well, it's about this guy starting off and trying to get started in comedy, going to open mics, barking, and all the shit you got to go through. You know what I mean?
Go out and call him in. Oh, okay.
You know? There's an open mic tonight at the N2 Wine Bar in Del Rey, for those of you guys watching in the area. I'm probably going to go out. Perry Sack may be going, although Perry's the kind of guy who says he's going to go and doesn't go. But he's,
there's a good vibe in the air, though. Oh, I'm going.
The funny thing, the greatest part about going on the road with comics is you write shit. And Perry Sack had the premise of a joke. And he brought it out, and Perry did what he usually does, is put a bunch of words to it.
Right.
And I said, dude, this joke is going to be funny if you just make it real simple and this clean, right? So you want to hear what the joke... All right, here's the premise of the joke was... it starts off with, I needed a physical. I had to go to get a physical, and I never like going to physicals, but I went to the doctor, and I was a little concerned. The doctor said I have dick hot dogs.
Huh.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Asperger's. So it was a long. So the joke. Tell me this. We were laughing our ass off, and then the first night, Perry tried to unload it on the stage on Friday night. He goes, oh, I was at the doctor, and he says I have cock hot dogs. I mean, so we were in the back, and Nadim and I are going. I said, I bet if he doesn't tell that joke, I'm going to tell it. Yeah, because I mean, his premise and stuff, but I worded
right.
it. And
you guys worked it together.
I want to see it, but I'm not going to. I mean, it's his joke, but if he didn't tell it, I was going to tell it to see if it works. But the second night he did it, and the joke, it's great. I think it's a funny joke, and this is the way I put it. It was like, I'm feeling a little weird. I went to the doctor today, and he says I have dick hot dogs. Oh, I mean, Asperger's.
Relax.
I think it's a funny joke. What do you guys think? Thanks. JT Mutt likes the joke. So go to N2 Wine Bar tonight, you'll probably be telling that joke. The great thing about headlining is you get to put all kinds of shit out, you know. So I did some new stuff, my Parkinson's bit and things, so that was cool.
It's nice when you throw it against the wall and it sticks.
Yeah. But, I got to tell you that the hardest thing of doing comedy is when you truly become a comedian. This is mean, you know, when you're spending your time and working at it, going out all the time and doing that. One of the things on that show on I'm Dying Up Here, one of the comics is, it's nice, it's really weird. I'm watching this with my wife, and the guy's like dating this girl. This one comic starts dating the guy, the chick. Well, she used to date the guy who got hit by the bus.
Okay.
So these two comics, and the guy's like, "Whoa, it's so nice going. It's so nice to have a girlfriend who's a comic." And I could just almost see my wife's eyes looking over at me, like, "You want a girlfriend to be?
Do you want that? Is that what you want?
You want a comic girlfriend?" And you know what I mean? I was like, "No." But then think about it, like, yeah, like what, like would I want a comic girl? I mean, it's like she's always around. Then
if you're both made it and you're fine.
Yeah, it's going to be bad if one does really well and the other one's eating a dick. And not their comedy.
The worst.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. We, you know, you watch that, but it, the guy's talking about it. So here's the thing, though. You start really working at comedy, all your free time should be basically going out to comedy.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't, I'm off this weekend. So, you know, I'm going to do stuff with the wife. We're going to get out, you know. But, you know, I can't wait to the next shows. I told Nadim, by the way, when we first got there on Friday to the hotel, we're just chilling. I'm just drinking a glass of wine. It's like a couple hours, whatever, 2 or 3 hours before the show. And I'm like, this is what it's all about. This is the funnest part of a gig. When you get to the hotel, you're in town, you're there, and now you just got to wait for the show.
Right.
That's it.
Settle in.
But here's the thing. When you become a comic, you have all your regular friends, all those people that you asked to come to the open mics when you started. Right, you kept asking them to come. I need 10 people, you know, and all. And after a while, these friends are no longer your friends. It's not because, well, for some people, their comedy sucks and they're embarrassed. But for others, it's because you don't have time for them anymore.
Right.
Like when your friend says, "Hey, we're all gonna go. We're all gonna go to the club. We're all gonna hang out." I'm like, "I can't. I got a show."
We're going kayaking Sunday.
Yeah, we're all gonna play badminton. You know, we're gonna have a Yahtzee team. We're gonna have a Yahtzee club.
Yahtzee tournament.
Danny Finneman says, "Watching two of my favorite guys."
Oh,
is that Dan the Jew?
Yeah.
Let me know how that joke works, Dan. Gave him a nice tag on his joke at the open mic the other night. And you know, you told that Facebook joke. I loved it.
Yeah.
That's the fucking jokes, dude. That is the style of jokes I could see you telling and just crushing. You know, because
Thanks.
It's coming from a zero fucking perspective.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? And you're throwing in that the funny, you know, the unexpected.
Right. Of
course. The silliness. You know.
It's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
Thank you.
I was happy that night because I did a bunch of new shit and it all kind of put in. It's talking about my wife.
Put things in perspective. Yeah, she was there.
Yeah, she
had
came.
A good time.
Yeah, she had a great time. It's a fun. It's a wine bar, so you got to put in a card and keep getting glasses of wine. We spent like $90. That was one of my jokes when I was up there. I was like, this is a great wine bar. I'm expecting to get the bill. It's gonna be like $1,200. I went to an open mic and got new did new
I
material.
Get the Rothschild.
Yeah, yeah. You accidentally pour. You don't even read the fucking number. The numbers just keep displaying on the machine. You put the bottle, and it's like a machine, and then it pumps it out. And you're like, okay, I'm gonna have 5 ounces, like $15 for a glass of wine.
Petrus. Did you drink Petrus?
Wow.
All right. I only went to the bathroom for a second.
I was like in the stag.
You did see it was 120 a glass.
Yeah. They had some stag leap year and it was nice in the Chardonnay.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was some good shit.
Pinot Noir is really, really good.
So, you know, I was happy with that. So I wrote down, I actually took the time. I put all these new jokes in like in some sort of order where they'll work and transition. Right? I took that piece of paper home. Now, you come here into the studio. If you see I have something written there, and let's say it's a little crumpled up, you wouldn't grab and throw it in the fucking garbage.
No.
No. Guess what my wife did?
She threw it away.
Fucking threw it away. I'm like, where's my list of all my new shit that I just did? I did like 10 minutes that night, and it was all that's 10 new minutes of material, and I had it written down in an order where I thought, and I even wrote, you know when you write like you're obsessive compulsive, where you keep writing over it because that shows it's bold?
You're trying to remember without having it. In case somebody throws it away.
Right. I want to write, because that way if somebody throws it away when I'm looking through the shit, I can find it, because, oh, there's deep writing. No, but they didn't. She throws it away.
You know, you need to remember this. You got to put it in your hard drive, because these are the moments that when you're in a fight later with your wife somehow, you know, the garbage, something, the floor, something, you're just like, they remember those times. Remember when you said that I shouldn't get a toe ring because my toes look weird?
Hmm.
No, I don't remember that, actually, no. It was on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, remember this. You're like...
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you know, you're right. Had I just taken a photo of that stupid piece of paper, threw it away. I threw it away. I'd be like, that's okay, babe. I still love you.
That's all, you know.
We're all fine.
Oh,
we're good with that.
You want to know why we don't have $10 million? Remember that piece of paper you threw away?
By the way, Dan the Jew says he has the notes. What was it, by the way, Dan? What was it again? I'm trying to remember his joke. He said the joke. It was actually funny to me. We were joking about it the other day, but Dan the Jew just got off stage at the open mic, and Nadim was up there,
right?
Who's Palestinian from the West Bank.
The Jew followed by the
Palestinian. And I'm like, and then they were talking back and forth, and I yelled out to Nadim. I said, hey, Dan the Jew says, back up on that stage. He's going to occupy some of that stage. You need to move back and use less stage, Nadim. And then somebody got spanked, right? I think
I had to go.
Oh, you had to leave. Nico Prada spanked this one chick from Jersey or somebody who came in. Yeah, she was like loud and drunk, so he ended up smacking her in the ass a few times.
Nice.
Yeah.
What a good mic.
The things that happen at open mics. But that's the life of a comic, you know? I feel bad. There's weekends. I'm like, hey, can you go? I can't. My weekends are taken.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't have regular friends anymore. My comics are my friends. Well, some of them.
It gets to the point where, like, you know, I cannot.
Yeah. Just crazy. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik today.
Hey, thank you guys for joining us.
And again, part of the show, we said watch on Showtime. I'm dying up here.
I'm dying.
Gives you a good idea for those of you not in the comedy world what we kind of go through as comics. It's a good depiction. And if you're a newer comic, if you're a comic, you should be watching it.
So fans of comedy.
Yeah. You should watch that show. What's up, Jeff Anderson?
Bored of CNN. Anything. Just watch this show.
Oh, that's right. Dan the Jew said, you know you're... That's right. He was saying, you know you're fat when you won't brush your teeth naked because everything shakes.
Right, and you see those shakes that...
Yeah, and I'm like, now more. When I brush my teeth, I at least have to wear a tank top. That's what I told him. I said, yeah, not a brush, I have to wear at least a tank top.
That's awesome.
Matter of fact, I'm a little feeling down, so I think I'll wear a full wetsuit, full body glove wetsuit. Don't want any of that shaking going on. Yeah, I had somebody after the show on Saturday say, you're developing nice man boobs. Because even when my T-shirt was so fucking hot, I had the boob sweat.
Yeah, the sweat going on.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Bob Gullah with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it.
What's the news?
That's right. You know, as a comic, that's what I do. I like to read the news, and sometimes I get material from it.
Absolutely. That's right? Perspective.
First story, pistol-packing bride arrested for pointing gun at the groom. Well, that's not a good start to your wedding.
You better say yes.
Yeah. If anybody here would protest, somebody steps up. Have you ever been at a wedding where something happened, like a crazy wedding?
No, but I've always wanted to. Sometimes I'm just like, I'm just going to do it.
You're going to stand up when they say that? I'm always tempted just to get up and go, oh, I'm sorry. Go on, carry on. Marry him. In Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Oh, Murfreesboro. Nice.
Is that what it's called, Murfreesboro?
I think.
Murfreesboro. A Tennessee bride was arrested hours after saying, I do, when authorities say she pointed a gun at her groom. Murfreesboro Police Sergeant Kyle Evans told the news on Monday that 25-year-old Kate Elizabeth Pritchard was still in her wedding dress when she was arrested on an aggravated domestic assault charge. Well, that relationship has no chance. Evans says...
Still 50-50.
Evans says officers responded to a report of Pritchard and her husband arguing at a Clarion Inn. Boy, there's your honeymoon. And Murfreesboro, fucking Tennessee.
You didn't even go to Memphis?
I'm going to break it all out. We're going to stay at the Clarion. Nope.
We're going to the border of Murfreesboro and Memphis.
Evans says if officers responded to a report of Pritchard and her husband arguing at a Clarion Inn a few hours after they were married, police say witness reported that Pritchard pulled a 9mm pistol out of her dress, pointed at her husband's head, and pulled the trigger. The gun wasn't loaded.
Wow.
Police say Pritchard then loaded a round in the chamber and fired a shot in the air. It's unclear if Pritchard has an attorney or any more bullets for that matter.
How about a car and get the fuck out of there? Cause...
Yeah, what do you do? You're on your honeymoon, you're at the hotel and your new bride pulls out a gun and presses it to shoot,
I'm not sure. I mean... First of all, you're going to have to call maid service.
Yeah, because I'm shit myself.
Of course. Secondly, see what the concierge says. Mm. See if we got any advice for you.
Yeah, concierge, I have to. Somebody ask you some. Yeah, would you like the restaurant? Would you like to go to. Oh, we're in Tennessee. Sorry, it's not a French. Well, I'd imagine it would be a French concierge.
Could be.
In fucking middle of Tennessee, in Murfreesboro.
Now, if you were in New Orleans, it'd be a French guy.
Absolutely. I don't know if you guys are out of work, but NASA has a job opening for someone to defend Earth from aliens, and it pays six figures.
Let's do this.
right? Can you imagine? Yeah. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm the point of contact when aliens land on this earth.
Do you remember that game Space Invaders? I'm living my dream.
NASA is hiring a planetary protection officer with a salary of up to $187,000.
Is that your real title?
The job was created after a signing of the Outer Space Treaty of 1967. The planetary protection officers are tasked with making sure humans don't contaminate planets, moons, and other objects in space. They are also supposed to help prevent any alien microbes from spreading to Earth. Boy, good luck with that one.
So you're going to have 20/20 vision, first of all.
Yeah, you'd have an easier
microbes.
You have an easier time making sure kids don't steal the candy in the grocery store, right? Whether you have to put it in a bag and weigh it yourself.
What happened to the good old days? Who's now protecting those little horsies that you put a quarter in and ride?
Nobody.
No one.
They're defenseless.
Now we got these planetary protection officers.
Some study infectious disease and effective treatments. Others ensure that drugs, food, and vehicles and consumer products live up to their claim and don't harm anyone. But concerns at NASA's headquarters are quite literally extraterrestrial, which is why the agency now has a job opening for planetary protection officer.
Alien
You're the
lives
PPO,
matter.
Baby.
I see it now.
You're the PPO.
You're the PPO. You down with PPO?
I'm down with PPO. I mean, think about that role. Like, I mean, that's something. Imagine you're in a bar. What do you do for a living? I'm a PPO. What's that? I'm a planetary protection officer. Matter of fact, I got to check for dangerous microbes. Let me see. Take off your clothes.
There's a comic coming around. Stand down, everyone. Stand down. This is all up to me.
All right.
You get one of those laser guns with the rings around it. You're like...
Yeah. That's what I mean. They should give the guy an outfit, or the gal, I should say. But, you know, people talking about, but this person, they have to have some standards.
Listen,
like,
they need to be skillful, so yeah. It's probably transgender only.
The new job ad is a result of relocating the position I currently hold to the Office of Safety, blah, blah, blah. I think the person has to have, like, a degree. They have to have a background in, like, metaphysics or, you know, like, physics and shit.
What's your future when you wash out of the PPO university?
Yeah, what's next?
Are you the guy that runs a bar in Star Wars? Are you that guy?
Yeah, that or you're the guy who, like, you know, like you got to deal with all those like fucked up reportings of like, all right, you're gonna handle Blue Book now.
You've been demoted to Bigfoot. No,
Yeah, you got to listen. You can't be dealing with the aliens that land anymore. You got to deal with these sci-fi fictitious creatures.
You're back to Swamp Thing, Bigfoot, and
Sasquatch.
That's it. You got the
skunk ape,
the blob,
skunk ape. Yeah, all those things. Yeah, like what's the criteria? Listen, I think I'm qualified for the job. Why is that? Well, because in my last job, I used to keep illegal aliens out. it's just a super duper like alien. How would you say? I don't know. What a fucking. I mean,
we live in a world.
Hmm.
Where we're gonna need the PPO. That's just a fact of life.
Part of the international agreement is that any space mission must have less than 1 to 10,000 chance of contaminating an alien world. Now, you got to know what's on the alien world to know whether it's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess we got samples, don't we? Do we have samples of Uranus and like Jupiter and shit?
They have samples of other people's Uranus, which is not highly discussed.
Adam Hayes on Facebook Live says that that's because they're trying to prepare us to let us know eventually. Like we're becoming closer and closer as a society of accepting the news that we're not alone.
Oh. Who thought we were alone?
Yeah.
In 2017.
I was talking with somebody recently about that fucking classic, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. What a great movie. If you've never seen that movie, you got to see that movie. Great movie. Close Encounters with Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Making that big fucking, he's throwing the dirt in his window because he's all free. He's got this vision of Devil's Tower in Arizona. Is that in Arizona? What the fuck is it?
I'm pretty sure it's either Arizona or Death Valley. I can't.
I don't recall. Well, if you can't qualify for that job, here's one. A Chinese museum is offering cash to whoever can decipher these 3,000-year-old inscriptions. I can't even read the fucking notes. My wife leaves me on the refrigerator.
That's a great bit.
Right?
That's a good bit.
I'll do that tonight.
That's a good bit.
Can you? You're not going to be there. Who's going to remind me?
I'll text it to you later.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the notes on the refrigerator.
During the 19th century, farmers in China, Henan province, began discovering oracle bones, engraved ox scapulae, and tortoise shells used by Shang dynasty leaders for record keeping. We don't have paper, so we must use a tortoise shell. And divinative purposes, while plowing their fields, more bones were excavated in subsequent years, and their inscriptions were revealed to be the earliest known forms of systematic writing in Asia. But over decades, scholars still haven't come close to figuring out what the fuck it means.
Yeah, well,
there's 5,000 different characters. I have no idea.
They change characters every dynasty.
It's like a soap opera. Which is why one Chinese museum is asking a member of the public for help in exchange for a generous cash reward.
Definition of generous.
Unless obscure reports, the National Museum of Chinese Writing and Anyang Hanan Province has offered to pay a citizen researcher about $15,000 for each unknown character translated and $7,500 if they provide a disputed character definitive meaning. Submission. Well, I'm gonna give me the fucking thing. It says here that
why isn't that it?
It says here they ran out of milk in Uranus back in.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to translate those things in China. That's
Wait a minute. This yeah, exactly. JT much. Yeah, on the inside of the shell it says, please no MSG. I want a happy ending after my meal.
What do you mean you can't play Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. Transformers rule. That's what it says. I mean, shit.
Poo-poo platter.
The museum began farming out their Oracle Bone Translations efforts in fall of 2016. The costly ongoing project, they said, is stalemate, and scholars hope that the public's collective smarts, I guess they haven't been around the people I have, combined with new advances in technology, including cloud computing and big data, will yield new information and save them research money. As of today, more than 200,000 oracle bones have been discovered.
Wow.
Got to figure it out.
A lot of tortoises gave their lives for prophecy.
Yeah. Right, we got to figure it out. Well, I did figure something out. Those things are extinct. The wonder fucking they walk so slow.
What are you in a rush for? I ain't going to get oracled.
Yeah. Now, we all know the pain in the ass travel could be, but this sounds like a shitty situation. It says here that luggage of passengers sprayed by sewage water at the Nashville airport. Is that my bag? No, I hope not.
Why? Why?
Passenger at Nashville Airport in Tennessee were in for a smelly shock when hundreds of bags were sprayed with sewage trailer water Thursday morning. Bags belonging to about 380 Southwest airline passengers were contaminated due to an overflow in the women's bathroom near Southwest C5 concourse. According to the reports, this happened.
Yeah.
Honey, what'd you do? Did you pack the toilet paper after you used it? It says here, according to the reports, this happened because someone had stuffed paper towels in the toilet. The toilet water and sewage leaked through the floor of the bathroom to the conveyor belt on the floor below, soaking the luggage that was being moved on it. Oh, God.
Was it blue?
The toilet shit?
The water.
No, it was like
plain water's always blue.
Oh, yeah, that blue stuff. Hey, what happened? Did you just rob a bank and a dye pack blew up? No, I just took a shit and fell through the toilet.
Is that your bag? Nope.
That ain't my shit. Everybody's picking their bags like dogs pick their fire hydrants.
It has your name on it. It's not mine.
Nuts. Oh, God. The airline also said the contaminated bags were being sanitized and replacement bags were being offered on a case-by-case basis. Guess how much shit you had in your bag. You don't have that much shit. You could take your shit home.
One of those little black light things. Up, oh, that's a lot of fecal
ooh,
matter.
Boy, that guy, yeah. We'll just give you. What was in there? Van Gogh painting. three laptops. My mom, my grandmother's the ancient
Maltese
jewelry.
Falcon.
Yes, the original Independence, Declaration of Independence. I was bringing it back to Philly. Oh, that's not right. One passenger on the flight, Kate Riley, told the news that some people did not know their luggage was missing until they went to claim their baggage at their destination in Florida.
Always in Florida.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, just, ugh. I mean, like I said, travel is such a pain in the ass as it is, man.
First of all, it's disgusting sewage water. Second of all, it's humid as hell in Florida.
Right. And you're in Nashville. You're, and that's even, you know,
ugh.
Right? That, oh, can you? Well, at least they saw it and they didn't release them. It's not like they went along that carousel. That would be one way to keep people away from that fuck. You know, I hate when I go. I never check bags.
That's
what, I usually don't check bags, but I'm going to be checking bags when I go on this 2-week run because you know right. I got to bring merch.
Right.
So, although I might just mail it because I got a FedEx account, I just might each place I might just mail like a certain amount of them.
You see,
and then just carry a bag
right.
in my bag and then use it. But you know, I never check a bag. And then I hate when you go to that you got to wait around that carousel and these people hug along that fucking thing. Listen, if you got a family of five, not everybody has to go there by the luggage thing and get their fucking bag, okay? Let somebody be the scout. Okay, Jimmy, there's your bag. Then let Jimmy get his fucking bag. And if you get your bag, pull it out and get the fuck out of the way.
No, stay right there, right next to it.
Yeah, just stand there until everybody gets their bag.
Actually, you should open it right there to make sure that all your stuff is in it.
Have you ever, I've been there. And like there's like somebody sitting there, and they won't. And like I see my bag coming, I say, "Excuse me, that's a bag." And like this person won't get out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck, dude. To me, when I don't care, man, woman, child, I'll push them. I don't give a shit. My bag's coming. I am not going to miss it.
I'm not sitting here for another round of this.
I'm not going to sit and let it go all the way around. It could get shit on it somewhere. Now that I read this story, I'm not going to play around. That thing ain't going around that carousel again. I don't need to deal with that shit.
But I don't understand the people that don't move or don't even, like, react or... No, I said, excuse me. I could have just slammed your head and moved you.
Yeah.
It's not a...
No, dude, I don't have time. Listen, you know, I hate when I'm standing there. Like, I get a spot, and then somebody stands in front of me. They'll come up and, like, what the fuck you think you're doing, dude? You know what I mean? Like,
I make the rules.
I was at a show when I was at Speak Miami last week or so, week before last. I'm standing there watching the show from the back of the room, right?
Right.
And these two big brothers come in and stand. They're like 6'4", and they stand right in front of me. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I'm like, you know.
Didn't hear about the window door theory, did they?
No. Here's a story. Driver won't leave burning car. He tells the police he's a mechanic. In Pelham, New Hampshire police say that they were forced to drag a driver out of his car, burning car that is, after it crashed into a tree, and he refused to leave, telling them he was a mechanic and he had the shit under control.
Not, I'm a firefighter, which would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, or at least a planetary protection officer.
I've seen Backdraft. Relax.
Yeah. I light matches for a living. Police say a witness reported the crash to the Pelham on Monday night and said the driver didn't want help from police or firefighters. When they arrived, 52-year-old Michael Hines of Derry refused to get out of the car. Police say they removed him, but he tried to get back in as fire spread and the tires exploded. Police dragged him out. Hines wasn't hurt. He was charged with driving under the influence and possession of cocaine.
Of course. There it is.
It wasn't cocaine. Immediately known if he had a lawyer. Yeah.
Cocaine makes you believe that a mechanic can put out a car fire.
Yeah. You feel superhuman.
Yeah.
That's that superhuman feeling of cocaine. You think the fact that you're an auto mechanic can keep a fucking flame engulfing your car.
What? The world is falling. I am Atlas.
That's right. I have it in my hands now. People are just so full of themselves. I got this. Don't worry. He was probably trying to get his coke.
Well,
he's probably like thinking, now
if he was already drunk, if he drunk and he ran into a tree already, he was probably unconscious or concussed.
Concussed. He should have just. Yeah, listen, if you get in an accident, you got drugs and shit. Like, I had it one time, I was driving home and I hit like a median.
Oof.
Fucking car, boom, you know. A BSO officer was right there. My car exploded. I was fucked up because, you know, I thought I was. I missed the turning lane. I hit the thing,
right?
And the car blew. And I says, "Oh man!" And the guy just ignored me because he says, "You're right." I go, "Yeah." Fuck. This median just jumped out at me.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I got pretty lucky. I've never been. You ever arrested DUI?
No,
I never have either. Could have many times, but
yeah, there's yeah.
I get sober real quick, dude. I think I should teach classes on how to get out of a DUI ticket. And it has nothing to do with blowing the officer. It's not my style.
Although it works.
Although if it you works. Have to. It does for women. A simple, inexpensive piece of tech is upending the burgeoning marijuana industry.
Burgeoning.
How come I never heard this word? Burgeoning?
They think they need to speak better than the rest of the world, they're making words up. Burgeoning.
This tiny combination of plastic and glass and metal is a disposable cannabis oil cartridge. It costs anywhere from $30 to $7, depending on what's inside of it. It's easily carried in your pocket and produces little to no smell when consumed. You simply screw it into an expensive rechargeable pen and inhale it. That's it. I love those things when people have them because you could be anywhere and you could just take a little dab. Is that what they call dabs?
Yeah.
It's a little
oil dabs, those type of things.
It's the wax or something like that where you smoke it out of a pen.
It's so cool. Very convenient.
This device has quickly taken over cannabis consumption in America's largest cannabis markets, California. Nearly a quarter of sales from 2016 tracked by marijuana delivery service Ease. We're for cartridges. So, I don't know. Every time I ever smoke from a vape pen or something like that, my throat always feels fucked up.
Well, that's the herpes. It's
not. Is that the herpes that's from everybody sharing?
Yeah, that's not the CBD. No.
I don't, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with it. I don't feel comfortable with that. I hate when somebody blows that shit in my face and go, it's not smoke. You're not inhaling it. I'm inhaling something. I smell it. If I could see it, it's something.
I don't know why anybody would say that it would be better. You smoke it so many more times. You know what I mean? People
right.
are vaping. It's like maybe a minute a day they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Whereas a cigarette smoker will smoke a cigarette and then wait like an hour, making an excuse.
Yeah, these
work.
People just keep going at it.
Right. So.
I mean, you know, I like my little glass pipe when I smoke in there. It's cleaner, it's clearer, you know. They say the best way to smoke is through a water bong.
Yeah, because it filters it twice. Or...
water bong with ice in it.
Oof.
Yeah, right? The best way. I haven't done that in a long time. I should get a water bong. I haven't had a water bong in a long time.
Well.
I need a water bong again.
That would definitely
conserve. I need to protect my singing voice.
You know, like two or three hits you do now with one?
Yeah.
One.
Just one big one and one. Boom. But I can't ever just do one. I hit, you know. I got a lot of stress. My back hurts. I think I'm getting blurry vision.
I'm a little anxious.
Mm-hmm. The harmful effects of spanking can last 10 years, scientists say. Do you ever get spanked by your parents?
Yeah.
My dad never hit me. He never had to. I was always scared he was going to hit me. So I don't think you should spank little kids, little babies. You should spank like adolescent kids.
When they start talking back, that's... they're old enough to talk back.
When they think they know more than you. Right?
Pretty much. With puberty hitting 7 now, I mean, they could be at 6. And I'll tell you another thing, Daddy.
It's no surprise that spanking and yelling at children starting at a very young age can have a negative effect on them. But a new study from the University of Missouri, which was published in the Developmental Psychology, the magazine that, shows those negative effects on a child development are long-lasting. The researchers noted that most studies on the consequences of physical discipline, such as spanking, only look at the effects for a year or two, while the study found that physical discipline during infancy can affect a child's temperament. I don't know if I buy that. Fuck it. What do the scientists in Missouri know anyway?
Well, it is Missouri.
I mean, you know, they're spanking their own relatives.
It's the Ozarks.
That's a new show my wife watches.
Yeah.
Ozarks. It's about a guy money laundering. So I think it's on the...
Isn't that where it is, Missouri?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of the mountains.
Isn't that supposedly where there's an underground world? That's like the Ozark will be like the the Noah's Ark of this country.
Apparently.
If everything goes down, there's usually an underground, private underground cities under there. And that when the shit hits, all these people know to go there, and they're going to block off all those hoople heads that live there from getting in there.
That's pretty much what they think.
Yeah, well, listen, don't hit your kids. Hit them when they're teenagers. Beat the shit out of them. That way they understand why it's happening. You know, the kids, you can't, how are you going to punish a kid today? Send them to their room? If you want to punish a kid, then you got to, you know what you should do? You should send them to like an open mic.
Yeah, make them sit to an entire open
mic. Yeah, you want to punish your kids, have them go to a really bad open mic. You keep fucking around trying to take the car out and we're not home. You're always going to go to these open mics. You're going to have to watch Alan Schumann set for 10 minutes.
Wow.
Fucking kid. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, who knew that? Who knew hitting your kid when they didn't know what to talk or speak would affect them later when they did talk and speak?
Yeah, they got to have some sort of idea. Here's somebody who probably got the shit beat out of him when he was a kid or something else.
Is he a cop?
What's that? No, he's a cops say man, 77-year-old man arrested after dousing girlfriend who's 72 in sex lube. 77-year-old Florida man doused his 72-year-old girlfriend in sex lube after his request to get intimate was rejected. According to an arrest affidavit, Roger Archambault squirted the lubricant all over the victim's shoulder and neck around 11 p.m. on Friday. Well, that's the wrong place to put it, stupid. No wonder she wouldn't bang you. I think you're supposed to put it in my ass.
Talk about getting your head out of your ass.
The around 11 p.m., Archibald, the cop said, wanted to have sex with the victim and acted when she denied him. Police responded to the couple's Clearwater apartment, noted the lubricant was visible on the woman, who also had bruises from earlier confrontations during the alleged argument. He kicked her in her thigh and grabbed her hand. Archibald, who had locked the woman up in their home, denied striking his girlfriend. Investigators contended that he was under the influence of alcohol and sleeping pills. So,
how long do you think Archibald was waiting to get famous for something?
Yeah, he made it finally at the age of 77.
He did it.
That's it. Crazy. Let's see here. We got a couple. We only got really time for one story.
What do we got?
Well, why not? Let's do this one. An Arkansas man accused of sexually assaulting his neighbor's donkey. Who doesn't like to get a little ass? I mean, I just don't, you know.
He goes right after the cow afterwards, ends up with Asperger's.
Oddly enough, he also doused it in sex lube. An Arkansas man is behind bars after allegedly trespassing into his neighbor's property in order to sexually assault the couple's donkey.
Where do they learn these things?
Police say that Everett Lee Compton Jr., 49, on Monday, after he was allegedly caught abusing a donkey owned by Emmett and Joyce Whitaker. The Whitakers had previously told police they have had problems with people harassing their animals. When I say harassing, ass-fucking is what I meant. For the past 3 years, when no trespassing signs didn't work. Well, listen, if a guy wants to bang a donkey, I don't think he's going to be stopped by a no trespassing sign. He's got other
warning.
Things.
Yeah. We have donkeys. Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, guy, when somebody said you need to get a little ass, don't take it literally.
Well, I blame that on Mexico.
Yeah.
Without those donkey shows, we would never know that that was a possibility.
You would have never known. Hey, I heard that they do this in Mexico.
Tijuana!
Police said Emmett Whitaker told them he photographed a man on his property on the mornings of May 27th to June 4th. The photos, which turned over to police, showed a man placing a bag over one of the donkey's heads and then rubbing his pelvis against the animal's rear. He put a bag on the donkey's head? Because he didn't want to see the donkey. He's too ugly. I can't fuck this donkey unless I put a bag on its head.
I think that's protocol.
Yeah, I think Adam's right. The donkey was probably like showing a little too much ass. The Whitakers called police around 1 a.m. on July 16th to report the suspect that he was in the field. This time they took a video of allegedly animal assault, which allegedly showed him appearing to have some type of sexual interaction with the donkey.
I did not have sexual relations with that donkey.
Look, there's no way they could prosecute. The donkey won't say shit.
As a matter of fact, the donkey hasn't shit in weeks.
That's right. My dick's been stuck in his ass. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Ciro Dober for joining us today.
Thank you, Dougie.
I hope you guys at Facebook Live, thanks for joining us. And our listeners, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join our Facebook fan page, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, Dougie Dangerous. This week's Wise Guys Comedy Show, Dean Napolitano is your headliner, and Jen Hellman's your feature. And Jen and Dan, those guys will be in on Wednesday show, so check that out. Other than that, go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. How about you, Ciro?
At Ciro Comic on Instagram and Twitter, and then Ciro Comedy Circus on YouTube.
There you go. Thanks for listening, guys, and guess what? We'll be back here tomorrow right at the same spot. Take care. They travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.